My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great having you with us.
Always great to be here, especially on these historic and dramatic news days.
Well, that's certainly one of them, and we've had a number of them just this year. Muammar Gaddafi, of course, we've learned today, captured and killed, trying to escape via a convoy from his hometown of Sirte. Looks like the U.S. Fired one of the major missiles that led to that. And nonetheless, however it happened, Gaddafi's dead, and some uncertainty remains. But before we move on, John, this is a man who was in power for 42 years. I just heard earlier today is responsible for killing more Americans than any other terrorist leader, with the exception of Osama bin Laden. So what's the postmark on the Gaddafi era?
Well, I think the postmark is that more often than not, people who engage in this kind of behavior against foreign nationals, particularly Americans, are going to end up not in the dock at the world court, nor even in a prison cell for the rest of their lives, nor an exile in some island, but dead. And again, he went the way of bin Laden. He did not even get the last meal and cigarette a la Saddam Hussein. I would have to say that on Gaddafi, it still dumbfounds me that his wife and daughter and at least one of his sons made it into exile in Algeria. His youngest grandchild was born on Algerian soil, the child of his daughter, Alicia. On the other hand, Gaddafi himself chose to stay and die with his boots on, so to speak, and he did. We are going to debate what happened. Was the U.S. actually responsible for his death, or was it a revenge squad sponsored by the National Transitional Council of Libya? I'll leave that up to history to judge. For now, a very dark chapter in Libyan history, one 43 years old, is closed. And as the president said at the White House today, it's time for that country to move on.
John, there are some folks who say this is a great day for liberty and freedom, potentially. Others say if you look at the amalgamation of folks who are part of this coalition that was fighting against Gaddafi, we could end up with a more radical regime than the one that just got killed.
Well, certainly there are those within the regime who are advocating Sharia law. There are also those, such as Mr. Jibril, who are people who broke with the old regime. So one does not have a case, as we did in Iraq, of trying to start from square one with the whole past thrown out and the new coming in. There are people who know what is going on, who long ago saw that staying with Gaddafi was folly. Certainly his ambassador to the United States, who's here in Washington, is a case in point. I have to say that every great revolution is built with allies who are not exactly committed to the noble ideals. Louis XIV was not exactly a great Democrat, but he helped the United States win its liberty from Great Britain. And in the case of Gaddafi, we will find all kinds of different people. I'm most intrigued with Mohammed Ad-Sanisi, who is the grandnephew and heir to Good King Idris, the very gentle ruler overthrown by Gaddafi in 1969, and whose flag the rebel forces carried everywhere, and it's now again the official flag of liberty.
John, moving on to the political aspect of this now, and of course it was James Carville who said it's the economy, stupid, almost 20 years ago, but and that obviously will be a major issue, probably the major issue next year. But this year, the president has ordered the taking out of Osama bin Laden. The drones took out Anwar al-Awlaki. Now Gaddafi is gone. What kind of foreign policy resume is he prepared to put in front of the people?
Well, as my friend Matt Lewis, a blogger and pundit on television, once said, perhaps once he's defeated, Barack Obama should be hired by the next president to oversee the taking out of evil people throughout the world. He has done a good job in that department, or I should say U.S. intelligence under his watch has been doing very well. And let's also give credit in the first year of his term for the taking out of Somali pirates. And I have to say that, again, would it have been any different under another president? George W. Bush was responsible, certainly, for inflicting some severe wounds on al-Qaeda and also for the demise of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Look, U.S. military might is strong. U.S. intelligence, while weak in some areas, can still hold its own with any in the world. And I think the lesson here is no matter who is president, if you're going to engage in terrorism, don't mess with the U.S., us guys.
John, let's talk about the most recent Republican presidential debate. You were out in California. The debate was next door in Nevada. And most of the headlines focused on the back and forth and at some points incomprehensible back and forth between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry, as well as the greater scrutiny of Herman Cain's 999 plan. Anybody in particular that you thought stood out in that debate or took a major hit in that debate?
Well, you know, as someone who's been watching debates for a number of years, goodness, you can hardly avoid them, that sometimes one wins by not losing. Mitt Romney got out without a scratch, a scar, or a ding. He looked presidential again, and his status as front runner was confirmed by the last debate. Now, Governor Perry had some moments there that clearly established him as a better candidate and debater than in his disastrous Florida encounter, something that was pivotal to his loss in the presidential straw vote in Orlando last month. My guess is that those two will continue to be the major players in the nomination battle, but one can never write off Herman Cain. The fact that everyone seems to be discussing his 999 plan and the fact that his picture is on the cover of some major news magazines and that his book, This is Herman Cain, envisioning himself as president, is doing quite well, all say he isn't going anywhere.
Anybody else on that stage still worthy of conversation?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that. Newt Gingrich, who is third, ahead of Governor Perry in some polls, distinguishes himself in every appearance. And some people don't like it when he lectures the press. I love it. And he reminds us all that in the end, when this battle is over, the Republican Party, like the Democrats 4 years ago, have to unite behind their candidate. My only regret is that he's had enough controversy in his personal and professional life that time has probably passed him by as a candidate. It's kind of a shame.
Well, we'll keep watching. There's no shortage of debates left to go. John, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Looking forward to it and wishing the very best to a free Tripoli. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.